Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Many of you all ought to be able to quote that from memory by now. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Again, it says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I want to raise this question again. Are you a disciple or just a member? Are you a disciple or just a member? There are those who accept Christ as their Savior, sometimes because of a crisis in their life. Others are able to come in calm weather. They join church, they learn about God, and they grow in their obedience to the Lord. These people are called disciples. But there is another group of folk who may or may not have accepted Jesus as Savior, but they do come to church. Some come on the CME schedule, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. Others come just a little bit more frequently. And then there are others that come almost every Sunday. And they look like disciples, but they don't live like disciples. Their name is on the church roll. They meet the prerequisites for being a member. But when we look at what the Bible calls for as it relates to discipleship, they flunk the test. And because judgment is coming, you do know judgment is coming, don't you? And because this is going to be on the test, your membership or your discipleship, I'm just trying to prep you for the test. Because I don't want you to get to judgment and try to tell the Lord, "Lord, I didn't know that I was supposed to be a disciple. I thought they were supposed to be a disciple. I'm washing your blood off of my hands again." I suggest to us that we should work on being disciples of Christ. Now, the first thing I want to do with this quiet crowd this morning is contrast five differences between a member and a disciple. Five differences that are not always apparent to the eye. The first matter is salvation. Disciples are, first of all, saved. That is, they have asked and they are trusting God to save them from a burning hell because Jesus died and paid for all of their sins. They are not saved because they are so good. They are not saved because they come to church every Sunday and live such a holy life. But they are saved because the Holy One paid for all of the sin in their life. But these members are not always saved. But what confuses you is when they came down, they gave the preacher their hand, and the preacher asked them, "Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior by faith?" And they said, "Yes." They jumped through the hoops of membership orientation. They sign off on the form. But do you not know that you can tell the preacher you've accepted Christ as Savior? You can go through the membership orientation class and still bust hell wide open. You don't get in because you say the right thing. You got to sure enough believe in your heart that he paid it all. I'm trying my best to make sure you know that you need to be saved. Your being in church this morning don't mean you saved. The fact you like what's going on around here, that don't mean you saved. You need Jesus in your life. Got to keep moving. The second area of contrast is decision. The text says, if anyone will come after me. The if clause suggests you must make a decision. What will you do in this fork in the middle of the road? For the disciple, they look at how good God has already been to them. They look at how God promises to bless those who obey him. And then they look at how God promises to punish those who do not obey him. Consequently, the disciple decides to do what the Lord say do. Somebody ought to bear witness that there is a blessing in serving the Lord. However, the member comes to the same fork in the road and perpetrate instead of genuinely decide. They look like disciples. They dress like disciples. They sing like disciples. They get misty when we sing, I surrender all, and I have decided to follow Jesus, and I will trust in the Lord. They know all of the marvelous songs of the church, but we are not known by what we say, but we are known by the fruit that we bear. I'm trying to get you to see, you can talk all of this discipleship talk if you want to, but if you don't love like a disciple. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Matthew teaches us, Matthew 6:21 teaches that you can tell where a person's heart is by where their treasure is. And therefore, you have not decided to follow him if you have not also decided to give to him as he's given unto you. Keep moving. Not only that, but this matter of denial, talking about the difference between a disciple and a member. The disciple has decided to deny himself. She has decided to deny herself, because the text says, if anyone's going to come after me, he must deny himself. Now listen to that. You got to deny yourself. It is not that you are not tempted to be self-centered. It is not that you don't want to have your way, but you have grown as a disciple to understand it's not about you. Y'all gonna make me think y'all just members if y'all don't come on here. I said, a disciple has grown to understand it's not about me. And so, yes, I would like to see it done this way, but more important than it being done my way is I want it to be done God's way. The disciple denies himself, denies herself, puts self-centered agenda away. And this is how you can tell where you are on the scale of denial. Why do you do what you do? When it is a godless explanation, it is a selfish explanation, and you are flunking the test of discipleship. I just like that song. Where is God at in that explanation? Why you dress like that? Because I like to dress like that. Where is God at in that explanation? Why do you serve where you serve in the church? Well, I just like this. My mama did this. My big mama did this. And I just, you know, grew up doing it. Where is God at in that explanation? A godless explanation is a selfish explanation, and it is not going to pass the test at judgment. I don't care nothing about y'all looking at me like that. A member is always egocentric. It's always about him or her. And when they don't get their way, they'll take their marbles in a minute and run home. They'll stop singing their song because they can't sing it the way they want to sing it. The musician is trying to get you to say, listen, baby, this is the beat right here. Hit this beat right here. I don't want to sing it like that. And if I can't sing it my way, I just ain't going to sing it at all. Preach, pastor. President trying to get you to see, listen, these are the maneuvers for ushers. When we pray, this is how we stand when it's time to pray. When it's time for the aisle to be closed, this is the posture of the aisle is closed. When the aisle is open, this is the posture of the aisle being open. Well, I don't want to do it that way, and since I can't do it my way, I ain't going to do it at all. Keep on moving, Pastor. Not only is there a difference in salvation, decision, and denial, but there's also a difference in this matter of daily dedication. The disciple understands that if you're going to follow the Lord, it's not going to always be easy. That's why the text says that if you come after me, you must deny himself and then take up his cross daily. To take up one's cross is not to suggest put on a necklace that has a cross on it. It is not to put on a lapel pin in the form of a cross. To take up one's cross daily is to suggest you are willing to die on the cross. And that if death is your lot, you don't want to go running looking for the cross because you're carrying the cross that you're willing to die on. Daily dedication. In other words, you can take a body blow and keep on going. People can lie on you and you keep serving the Lord. People can mistreat you and you keep serving the Lord. People can ignore you and you keep on serving the Lord. You don't feel your best, but you keep on serving the Lord because you are dedicated to following the Lord. You know, there are some of us who are more dedicated to this church than we are dedicated to the Lord. As long as the church strokes our ego and pat us where we like to be patted and stroke us where we like to be stroked, then we're faithful in service. But when people don't stroke us enough, don't pat us enough, don't have enough standing ovation for us, then we want to quit and throw in the towel. But a disciple says, I'm not here for the people. I'm here to serve the Lord. And no wonder Paul tells Timothy, you must be able to endure hardship like a good soldier. There are too many of us who quit just as soon as a little breeze come our way. We want to throw in the towel. Well, I was as faithful as them. Why my name is not on the list? Baby, you better be more concerned about your name being in the Lamb's Book of Life than any human-made list that we can come up with. Well, why are you always calling their name? I was here 2 months ago. I'm still a member of the church. If you knew how embarrassing it sounds for you to talk about, I'm a member of Southern. I was here when Milton was here. Do you know we had a pastor between Milton and Bain? It's shocking to me to run into folk that say, I used to be a member. Baby, when was the last time you was here? I'm not sure, but Pastor Milton was there when I was there. Do you know how long ago that's been? That's an indication of how low your dedication is. Mm-hmm. You can't build great churches with quitting members. You're going to have to fall in love with Jesus. And you're going to have to love Jesus so much that come what may, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. Now, you know what I've discovered everywhere I go? There's a group of people that just love the pastor. And then there's another group can't stand the pastor. And those who love the pastor will do whatever the pastor asks them to do as long as they love the pastor. But when they stop loving the pastor, then they go sit down on you. What I'm trying to get that crowd who love the pastor so much is to learn how to love Jesus more than you love the pastor. And those of you all who can't stand the pastor, look past the pastor and love Jesus so much that you do whatever you do because you love the Lord. Every human being you know is going to let you down. You can start with the one you see in the mirror. Don't be hating on me. I told you he ain't all that. No, don't start here. Look at the one in the mirror. That's the first one that's going to let you down. And yes, the preacher going to let you down. And yes, every church member you know is going to let you down because we have all sinned. That's why we not the Savior. We didn't come to lift ourselves. We came to lift the Savior. And if you can fall in love with the Savior, then you can stay faithful when things get rough in your life. But as long as you think you're getting brownie points with the pastor, you think you're getting brownie points with people around here, you think that somebody's going to remember your name when you die, you're trying to be popular, you're trying to be famous, you're trying to be a celebrity in the church, as long as that is your motive, you're going to always fall short. The disciple has daily dedication in love with Jesus. And then finally, the difference between the disciple and the member is this matter of divine direction. Y'all still here? In other words, the disciple is saved. The member, I don't know. The disciple has decided, I'm going to follow the Lord. The member has not necessarily decided to follow the Lord, even though they look like a disciple. The disciple denies themselves. They know it's not about them, it's about the Lord. The member is egocentric. If they can't get it their way, it ain't gonna be no way at all. The disciple has daily dedication. They don't feel well all the time, but they have made a commitment to serve the Lord. Their head hurt just like your head hurt, just like your back hurt, they back hurt also. Just like you got problems at home, they got problems at home too. The difference is they are dedicated to getting the job done. They've put their word out there. They're trying to be covenant keepers. But then finally, this matter of divine direction. The disciple looks at the word of God and see orders and instructions for their lives. The member, if they ever look at the Bible, see Bible stories and fairy tales, and they selectively pick and choose what they are going to follow and what they are not going to follow. The disciple looks at the word, looks at the Bible, and see the word of God, authoritative truth for their life. The member looks at the Bible and see nothing but a Bible. It's 66 pamphlets compiled by a bunch of old church folk thousands of years ago. It's ancient religious literature to the member, but the disciple says, no. It's something special about this book that somehow God has mysteriously breathed upon people and translations, and somehow God yet speaks to me through ancient words. Disciples can read the text over and over again that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and every year it gets sweeter and sweeter. The disciple reads, fret not yourself because of evildoers, for they are soon cut down, and it gets sweeter as the days go by. But members hardly know that these texts are in the Bible. The disciple follows divine directions such as studying the word. The disciple realizes that it is my job to get into the word of God for myself, especially as a Baptist believer who put such an emphasis on individual priesthood. A disciple would never say, the reason I'm not any better is because my pastor didn't teach me. A disciple would be embarrassed to say something like that, because a disciple got enough sense to know that your pastor never stopped you from reading your Bible in your house. These excuses we make are not going to hold up at judgment bar. You got the Holy Spirit, and if you was just that malnourished, why you didn't find another feeding place? Get yourself in the Word of God and stop making excuses. This gonna be on the test. It's gonna be a much softer sermon when we get to Louisville. Amen. The disciple studies the Word of God. The member is comfortable being biblically illiterate. It doesn't bother the member, I don't know anything about the Word. But the disciple realizes, I need to get God's word not only in my head, but in my heart. The disciple does not only study, however, the disciple understands, I've also been called to serve the Lord. And that's why you find disciples always trying to do something. And you know, birthdays will change your list of what you do. Somebody ought to be able to say amen, Reverend. There are some young, energetic folk who can do 3, 4, 5 things well, but birthdays have a way of altering and changing your list. But I don't care how old you get, the disciple realizes that as long as I have breath in my body, I gotta find something to do to serve the Lord. And you know, sometimes what our service is that of encouraging those who are still on the battlefield. I've been watching this thing. There are seasons in our ministry. There is the preparation season. Nobody's paying you much mind. It's time to go to school. It's time to watch the people who are accomplished. And then we have a small window of prime time. This is our season. We do the best that we can. We try to use all of the preparation we receive, but right behind prime time is down time. And it's hard to go to down time out of prime time if you're not a disciple. You see, this is what happens when prime time is in the life of a member. The member think we're shouting about them. But the disciple understand that prime time is not a time of self-aggrandizement. It is not time to build a cult for me, but it's time for me to lift the name of Jesus with the very best that I have. And therefore, when prime time is over and I slide into downtime, I'm still excited about the name of Jesus. Even when my name is not on the marquee, I tell you, it's important to serve the Lord. It don't look like this lecturing stuff gonna work for me this morning. That not only does the disciple study, not only do they serve, but the disciple gives. The disciple understands that it is embarrassing for the Lord to keep on blessing them and they not turn around and bless the Lord. Now, a member don't care anything about giving. They will come in to the Lord's house walking on the 2 feet that God has given them and don't even give God shoe money. Yeah. The member will travel over the dangerous highways and byways. They'll fly through the air on vacation and cruise over the ocean. They'll drive up and down the streets of Cincinnati and don't even bring God gas money. Yeah. The member will brag about how old they are, but how active they are. They show you that they can squat and touch the floor and they don't need glasses and their hair is still black and they are excited about their health and then don't even bring God co-payment money. But the disciple of Christ realizes that the more God gives to them, then the more they ought to give back to him. Well, I've tried to show you five contrasts between the disciple and the member. My voice is rising up on me, so let me go ahead on and close. Let me leave you now with three motives, three reasons to get off the membership and come on up to discipleship. Why should I strive to be a stronger Christian? Here's the reason why. You ought to do it because the more you obey God, the more punishment you avoid in your life. You ought to get this in your spirit, that to whom much is given, much is required. It's dangerous to hear the word Sunday after Sunday, but don't live by the word. Let me show you what I mean. In Mark chapter 11, there was a fig tree. Had all kinds of leaves on the tree, but there were no figs on the fig tree. When Jesus saw the figless fig tree, Jesus, the patient and understanding one, cursed the fig tree because it bore no figs. No need in appealing to the Father, because in John chapter 15, verse 2, Daddy goes around cutting off the branches that don't bear grapes. You remember John 15, that I am the vine and ye are the branches. That if you don't bear fruit, then the Father will cut off the fruitless branches. It's dangerous to talk about how long I've been in church and never come to Bible study. It's dangerous to brag about seniority, but don't give any service. It's dangerous to be a member of the church, but your fingerprints are on no good work in the church. It's sad that many of us could die today and nothing would go undone. No song would have to be retired. No van would have to be parked. No equipment would have to be sold, because we didn't do anything while we were here. It's dangerous to hear preaching and suck up praying and enjoy singing and then leave the same way we came. So then the reason why we ought to grow up to discipleship is so God won't send punishment into our life. But here's a second reason. The reason we ought to grow up is because the closer we get to God, the more blessings he shower into our life. Somebody ought to be a witness that serving the Lord sure enough will pay off after a while. I need 1 minute on this text. Now it's good when the Lord blesses us with stuff, but the truth is when you got enough stuff, then more stuff loses its satisfaction value. And so then what does the Lord do in the area of blessing? When you already got a house, when you already got a car, when you can already look past next week, how does God bless middle class folk? He can give you peace that surpasses all understanding. He can give you joy in your time of sorrow. I'm here to tell you that serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Y'all not gonna help me. It may go on and tell you the third thing, the third motive, the third reason for growing up is to tell the Lord thank you for what you already have done in my life. Don't make God out to be the bad guy that I gotta serve him or else he's gonna beat me. And then don't try to manipulate God. God, I'm gonna do this for you and you do this for me. The greatest motive for growing up in the Lord is to tell the Lord thank you for what you already have done in my life. I said I wasn't gonna preach this hard at 7:30, but I gotta at least tell you this. The Lord has been mighty good to me, and I will always be indebted to the Lord. I owe him and can never repay him. Can I just quickly go down my list and we'll be out of here? I can never repay the Lord for my wife and for my children. I'm thankful for not only a wife, but a pastor's wife. I'm thankful for my children. Don't know what it means to go to jail to try to get my children out of trouble. Don't know what it means to go to the detox center trying to dry my children out. I can never repay God for my family. Have a praying mama and a praying daddy. God bless their souls, but I had a praying big mama, and I can never repay the Lord for the pictures that still flash in my spiritual mind of my upbringing. And that's not all, children. I owe the Lord for food, clothing, and shelter. I can never repay how the Lord has put breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks before me every day. I don't know what it means to be hungry. I can never repay. I don't know what it means to have my light turned off. I don't know what it means to have my phone turned off. I don't know what it means to have no gas in the house. I don't know what it means to have to go down to the shelter because there's no shelter over my head. I can never repay the Lord for blessing me to always have shoes on my children's feet. My children have never had to beg, never had to borrow. It is not because of me, but it's the Lord took care of me so I could take care of them. I could never repay the Lord for life, health, and strength. Yes, I can feel the difference between 43 and 33. Yes, I don't feel like 23, but every time I walk into University Hospital, every time I walk into Good Samaritan Hospital, every time I walk into Deaconess Hospital, I'm reminded that the Lord has been good to me, because when I peek into these rooms, I'm seeing folk younger than me, but God keeps me strong. God gives me power to run on and see what the end will bring. I can never repay him for health and strength, but I haven't got to the best part yet. I could never repay the Father for the Son. Lord have mercy. Every time I look at an empty cross, I'm reminded of how much I own. I know it's not true, but sometimes it seems like I can still hear the hammers ringing when they nail his Son and my Savior to that cross. I owe the Lord my best in service, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I made up my mind that membership is not enough. But every day I'm struggling and straining, trying to be a stronger disciple. I'm struggling and I'm straining, trying to get closer to where the Lord is calling me to. Anybody here got a made up mind to leave membership behind and strain towards discipleship? I think I ought to tell you, it's not always easy, it's not always popular, but if you make up your mind that come what may, I'm gonna serve the Lord, can I be a witness what the Lord will do? The Lord will make a way somehow. I gotta quit, Woodson, but somehow and some way the Lord will take care of you. You won't always see the way, but as you grow, you'll learn how to trust him to make a way somehow and some way. Anybody here know that the Lord will make a way somehow? Help me say somehow and some way. Somehow and some way. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? I gotta leave you here, but I'm glad that I know the Lord will take care of his own. Anybody try them? If you don't mind, then reach over and tell somebody, I tried them for myself, and the Lord will take care of his own. Yes, he will. 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 God will take care of his own. When you think about how good God has been
to you. Should nobody have to preach you to the next level. You ought to have enough thankfulness for what God has already done in your life. You shouldn't be trying to manipulate some more blessings out of his hand. When you look at all of the surplus blessing in your life, you ought to be able to tell the Lord, Lord, I owe a debt I could never repay. And I pray and trust you've heard the word of the Lord. The only way to be a greater church is when members become greater Christians, greater disciples. And my prayer is that you've heard the word of the Lord for you today. Would you stand?